Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics.
Welcome to Speaking of Reliability. This is Mojan Sohi.
And this is Diana Dini.
Hi, Diana.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I am well, thanks.
So we were just chatting about how much it can pay off when you think ahead, you know, in your design about what sort of ways your product can may need some servicing. And just like humans, how much humans need, you know, to think ahead a little bit about their health. And we know what sort of things define our health. I think generally any kind of product also could use some health metric, and, you know, we'll probably need some sort of service. And you said you had some stories related to this.
yeah, I do. Specifically with manufacturing and maintenance, but, you know, you're mentioning that we have to take care of ourselves and our bodies, mm-hmm. And linking that to metrics. Well, over, I don't know, the last 2 years or so, I've had to switch up how I do things, how I exercise and what I do. And I'll tell mm-hmm. you what, I'm at the age, I think, where just something is sore all the time. That's just a reality for me.
I'm familiar.
So even yeah. if you think you have the maintenance down, you know, there's wear out and failure and you have to adjust. But it's, when you mentioned that, it made me think of the smartwatches mm-hmm. and the other devices that people wear on their arms and the metrics that they track on, like, Trainer Road and that kind of thing. And I was really into that for about a year. I had my smartwatch and I would record things and, you know, my heart rate, and I would do all those things. And then for me, with my health, I realized that I do better if I'm not tracking all those things all the time. It was almost yeah. too much data. mm-hmm. And whereas, you know, I could have spent an extra 15 minutes on the bike, I was like looking at the numbers because, you know, I'm an engineer and I like numbers and data and stuff. So, mm-hmm. Related to the health thing and thinking about how we monitor our health. So that's an interesting take that you had there.
Yeah, I completely also relate to the too much data. I went through the same phase and I was tracking a lot of things. And then I was like, well, you know what? I think part of this is making me a bit more stressed.
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, so just like I thought you were going to talk about how the devices that monitor our health need metrics to monitor their own health. They're going to wear
yeah,
out.
Yeah, right? Because yes. you'll get this blip and your workout would be like, oh, that was a terrible workout. And you feel like, what? Are you sure?
Yes.
Was
yes.
it not connected properly?
yeah. Exactly.
And then
same
you
thing
fall
with
down
sleep.
Yeah. Same thing with sleep. Yeah. Your sleep metrics. Yeah. What? I feel yes. great. I thought I had a great night's sleep. But, you know, it was the opposite for me. Like, I would wake up and my device said, oh, you had a great night's sleep. And I'm like, I don't think I did. I don't think
like,
I did.
Excuse me. I think I know better. Yeah, I know the feeling. I went through the same thing.
When I started in my career, I was on the manufacturing floor. I was a process engineer, and I worked on some projects where it wasn't high volume, and a lot of the processes were manual because it was a pilot program with very low volume, high criticality, low volume product, and I was taking on the responsibility of the maintenance, the routine maintenance of the equipment and everything. And gosh, with my workout story and this story, I'm aging myself. So that was about 20 years ago. And the things that we did to monitor the equipment was, you know, we would take measurements and we had a 3-ring binder and we would log things, or if it was really special, we might have some simple software package where you would log log maintenance or something like that. And really just thinking about the plan of, if this breaks, how critical is it to the process? And does it warrant having those extra parts on hand? Or can we get a rush shipment of it instead and we don't need to have it on site? So it was just for that small piece of equipment, those simple type of equipments. There was a lot of planning that went into the maintenance and stuff. And you mentioned in the opening too, with the products, that maybe you're designing a product that you're giving to a customer and you need to define the maintenance that needs to happen for that and design for maintenance. But I know things have changed quite a bit.
Yes, there are. I'm sure you've seen this too. Hopefully more and more. I've seen more and more digitization going on and sensorization going on of products, and for inspections and things, that more data, more sensors, and therefore more data are being used for monitoring the health of whatever product basically that they're working on.
Yeah, I'm familiar with I think it's Sensei. They make the sensors that are put on equipment so you can monitor the parameters to see when you need to do maintenance or when you may have to repair something. And they've incorporated AI in their sensors now, where they're using the AI to help monitor things, but they're also using it for the programmable logic controllers, the PLCs. They can whip up some new code for the PLCs for the sensors using the AI. Very neat and interesting things.
Hmm. That's amazing. It reminds me of, I'm also aging myself here, but when someone I know was at a conference, and this was a long time ago, also I think 20 years ago, and it was a mining conference, and this was, at the time, basically, there was talk of more automatic inspections maybe can be done in industries, in heavy industry, for example, like in mining or, oil and gas, where there's pipelines and things like that. And so at this mining conference, there had been conversations about potent possibility of this. And so it had turned out that basically a lot of the companies, what they do is they would have an inspector basically physically goes out to the field and, has their equipment. Let's say they're doing ultrasonic inspection or something, for example, and they'll have it out. They will do the inspection. Their equipment will have a readout. Let's say, for example, maybe they're writing something down or something, and they'll physically write down on a piece of paper what the observation was, and, if there were any quantitative numbers or anything that they needed to write down. Then they would take that piece of data back to the office. They would manually enter that information onto an Excel sheet. And then the Excel sheet maybe would be sent to somebody and, reviewed, or maybe it would just go on a hard drive and just be stored, right? And then that's it, basically. I remember being so shocked at the time when I was hearing about this. It was like, but I'm sure you can figure out how to get that ultrasonic sensor to just at least put the data on a USB so you don't have to manually put it on, write it down on paper and things like that. So to your point, I'm fascinated by more usage of this kind of technology and moving away from this type of manual work, which I think really results in probably the analogy that I always use, actually, I was talking to someone earlier today about this, is like the oil change in a car. If you before it used to be, and I guess it still is for some cars if they're older, is that you just get like the recommendation from the manufacturer of like, oh, you need to change your oil. Obviously, if it's not an electric car, you need to change your oil, so many thousands of miles. But you don't it really depends on how you drive, how much you drive your car, whether you need to do that or not. So if everybody equally, you know, gets told the same thing, sometimes maybe you're changing your oil and it's totally fine. You don't need to be doing it. And sometimes maybe you're doing it really late, you know, relative to quote unquote, the health of your transmission and engine, basically. You know, now it's changing to, okay, well, you could have a sensor that is monitoring the health of the oil, you know, or the cleanliness of the oil, basically, or whatever it is they look at. I don't know anything about combustion cars. I shouldn't use this as example. I don't know where the oil goes.
They could use sensors to detect when the oil would need to be changed.
Yes. Yes, yeah. Exactly. You can use the sensor and then it tells you, you know, when you need to go do maintenance on your car. And it's a much more smart way to do it. And so I'm fascinated by, you know, I think the heavy industry equipment and like you said, also equipment in the manufacturing floor can use similar, you know, this it's so helpful to use this kind of technology and data for planning for maintenance, because it's just like the car oil example. You can save a lot of time and money and obviously less downtime.
Well, yeah, and you would save on the oil, right? Less oil used. Mm-hmm. You're not just replacing it on a time scale. You're replacing it when it's needed to be changed. And then the technician time to change it and the downtime of the machine itself while you're doing the maintenance. But then with maintenance too, there's the timing factor can come into play where you don't want it to break down or need maintenance when it's in the middle of nowhere doing its thing. And then, yes. You know, if you send it out into, I don't know, send it out into a remote location and it's doing its thing, and, you know, 100 hours into it, it needs an oil change when you had it on site. You know, there's some cost trade-offs to doing the maintenance before the 100 hours versus waiting until it's in the field and maybe breaks down or causes some problems with the equipment. So I really appreciate the engineers that think through all of those details. Because it's really worthwhile to do so, like you said, for the costs and the lifetime of the products.
Yes, absolutely.
But like we were talking about with our health metrics, we had so much data that it ended up not being useful for us. And we ended up like my smartwatch is in the drawer. So there's a lot of planning involved in what sensors you need and when to plan for it and how that relates to the timing of maintenance. So with the projects that you're working on, are like how soon are these kind of sensors coming into the design conversation? Are they coming in at a time where it's affecting how the design is happening, or is it kind of after the fact, after, you know, let's just insert a sensor here so that we can monitor this and like after it's already done?
Yeah, that's a great question. It happens in my experience. I've seen it be unfortunately more reactive where, you know, it's coming in after the fact. I have also seen it when it is, you know, at the very, very beginning, like really at the, when you're just transitioning even from concept to, you know, your design development work, that's really when you want to be thinking about it. That's the most ideal time. Because what happens when you think about it later is that the negotiations inevitably have to happen with everybody, you know, in terms of packaging. So you need, now you have another physical, you know, device that you're trying to fit into what I'm sure was already a small package generally that was optimized, you know, in terms of space for something else. You are now, you have to, of course, like, you know, power this device. So you have to have pass, you know, electrical. So that means you need a connection, you need cabling, you need like another, you know, or I mean, of course it could be wireless, but even that still has a burden on software. You need to have, you need to get it mounted somewhere. And then, of course, then there's the software side. So you got to be able to take the data from that and process it. And that takes up bandwidth. And there's always been, I've been in many negotiations with different teams about this where, you know, and then there's cost, of course, and timeline and, you know, assembly. Like you can add cycle time if it's high volume. Just installing it, the cycle time and that in manufacturing is a topic that would have to be discussed eventually. And so, yeah, it there's a lot of things. There's a lot of planning, like you said, that goes into, you know, picking the right things and installing them in order to be able to get the data that you want to get the health of the product. So earlier, the better. I have seen it in both cases. How about you? Have you had a similar experience?
I'm not sure why, but it's always been retroactive.
Mm-hmm.
yeah. That there's already something installed, and then hey, it'd be nice if we could monitor this for maintenance. But like you said, if you're building it into a product, that's a lot of things to consider. Like you mentioned, all the cables and the connectivity and the package and the fitting and everything like that. That could really have an effect on a lot of the other design decisions that you're making. So the decision for sensors can come, like I said, reactive. We're having a problem, or we've had this problem, we want to do better. So it's a continuous improvement thing. Or it's replacing the guy that's going out into the field and recording something on paper and bringing it back to Excel.
Well, hopefully making their job easier, at least, so they don't have to, you know, they still probably need to review the data, but at least they can probably just be, you know, quote unquote, be virtually in multiple places at once, so they don't have to physically go to the site and write things down on paper.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But I guess it all comes down to risk, right? So if you are designing something new and you're thinking you want a sensor, the thing that's driving that is the risk of that going wrong. Like you're adding it as a control mm-hmm. for something bad happening. So the earlier you can assess or analyze the potential failures, the earlier you'll be able to determine if you really need or want a sensor on your product.
Yes, exactly. You know, it reminded me a while ago, I was speaking with Fred, and he asked me on it was one of the prior episodes. He asked me, he's like, what's the definition of reliability? And I gave him the classic, you know, I was not prepared at all for that question. So I just
the trick question as it goes.
Yes, exactly. It was a trick question as it goes. So with Fred. And so I gave him the standard answer of like, well, you know, it's the probability of failure at a given time under specific conditions, et cetera. And then we talked, he asked me a couple follow-up questions, and you know, we shortly after that got to the customer. And I love that conversation, because at the end of the day, you know, it's about like, is the thing doing, like, is the user, whoever the user of that product is, able to get the information that, able to use the product, right? Like, or is the use of the product basically interrupted for whatever reason? And this can apply to anything from like a power station to whose users are essentially like maybe commercial or residents that are using power, obviously, like people like us. Or it could be, you know, like maybe my phone isn't working, for example, or it could be a business, for instance. So that is really what, at the end of the day, what it is. And so if you, to your point, when you're planning, you know, and you're trying to figure out what's the risk, like the risk is that at the high level, very high level, is that your user cannot use the product. And so then it comes down to, okay, well, what's the consequence of that? And how much do we care, right? Like, is that, how often could it be interrupted, for example? What is the consequence of it being interrupted? And obviously, if I'm a resident and my power to my house is interrupted, that's a pretty big deal. and then in some cases, maybe it's less of a deal. So yeah, like the assessing the risk is the, you're basically trying to prevent that. And so it's putting a cost to what's the consequence of that happening. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I do agree with that. But that's making me think of sort of where we started with the whole health thing. Mm-hmm. We had these devices to measure, you know, aspects of our health, and then we decided to put them away and not use them anymore. So if we're the customers of those smart watches and monitoring devices, then how did they fail for us?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because my mm-hmm. husband uses them and he loves them. Mm-hmm. But for me, I chose to put it away. So I don't have an answer for that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, it didn't, for you, you know, you were like, they were basically banking on you getting the benefits that they're thinking out of it. And, for you, you found those benefits in other things, right? And that's just one possibility.
So I guess that's another angle. Is it wasn't really, wasn't addressing my health risks, but they were trying to provide a benefit that through all these different additional addendum sensors, which ended up just being noise and didn't help me make decisions about my own health. So maybe that's another thing with sensors to think about is, are you giving your customers the information that they need to make wise decisions?
Yes, very well put. Yes. It's like Fred always says, like he says this about testing. He's like, any tests should be done only if it helps make a decision at the end based on the data, which is very true. But yeah, the data that we would get from the sensors should also be, should be helping to provide obviously some value and to enable some decisions.
Well, I think I'd like to hear from the broader Ascendo Reliability audience. I know some of you are adding sensors or designing sensors in. How are you doing it? Are you doing it from a risk-based point of view or from a benefit-based point of view? And if you're not installing sensors on your products, do you use smartwatches and have you put them away? Kind of like to know like the percentage of people that decided this isn't for me. But if you have any comments or questions, you can go to ascendoreliability.com/go/SOR. That's short for Speaking of Reliability. Fred has that website set up where it's easy to leave a voicemail, a comment. All of your submissions get read and reviewed, and we often use them for future episodes where we answer questions. What do you think, Majan? Any other last thoughts?
No, I think I might think about, do I care about, you know, powering up my one of the rings that I had for for health monitor for tracking my sleep now or not, but we'll see.
you might go back to it, huh?
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. I gotta look at the app again, see what it was even telling me.
Well, yeah, because if you're gathering all that data and then nobody looks at it, then what's the point? That's another
gotcha with
these sensors.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Well, nice talking with you, Majan. And I don't know. Let's stay healthy.
Yes. Yes. Likewise. Thanks, Diana.
Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation. If you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show, please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.